Let's go.
Let's go.
Bringing in the fun since 91. You're listening to the Nick Major Show, live on Adobe Radio.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Tommy, I'm the one who's supposed to screw up. Oh my God. Woo! Here we go, everybody.
Whoa. Oh, oh. Whoa. Oh, oh. It's the Nick Major Show on Adobe Radio. It's the Nick Major Show on Adobe Radio. It's the Nick Major Show. I just realized that I was live on air, but I turned it off right now.
Crap.
Sorry if I screwed up someone else's show right now. My bad. That's embarrassing. Oops, we gotta learn these lessons every so often. And mine was that I was just, so this is a pre-recorded show, but we had a minute and a half of interrupting whatever was on the station.
Woo!
Which, you know, at 1:25 in the afternoon, I don't know if anything, any specific shows are playing new episodes.
Even on?
Let me just try to justify why it's okay that I did that. But yikes! Well, welcome to a brand new episode of the Nick Major Show right here on Adobe Radio, everybody. I'm your host, Nick Major. Got Tommy Wooldridge in the studio for the first time today. Tommy, welcome
to my show.
What do you think?
It's the first time today
that he's been on my show, and about the 500th time in total. And
It's beautiful here.
It is nice. Tommy and I had a fantastic weekend. We went and saw Oliver Tree perform in concert. So we're just going to kind of reflect on that incredible night. Going to give you guys a box office breakdown about the top performing films from over this weekend and just some other stuff. We got some other fun stories planned that Tommy doesn't know.
Well, whoa!
Actually, it's nothing that crazy, I promise. Whoa. But dude, we saw Oliver Tree this weekend. It is a show we have been looking forward to for months. And what was so cool about this was back in September or October, tickets went on sale. And I wasn't like that big of an Oliver Tree fan at the time, but I knew Tommy was. And so it was one of those moments where it was like, tickets are on sale at 10 a.m. So Tommy was at his computer just to grab them right when they went on sale.
I'm buying one. Do you want one?
And I just said, yeah, sure. Go ahead and get me a ticket. And then I just started really listening to him and I became like obsessed with him. And then a couple weeks later, his label reached out to this other podcast that I do interviews for. And they were like, hey, do you want to stop by Oliver Tree's house to do an interview? And I was like, whoa, what is going on here?
Yes.
This is weird. So Tommy came and filmed that for me. We went to his house, had a great chat with him. And a couple weeks ago, or just last week, I guess, last week, he dropped his new album, Cowboy Tears, which is a fun, good one.
Very great album.
Country oriented. And this dude, if you don't know who Oliver Tree is, he's just like an absolute hysterical character that...
He's a meme
and he just fully embraces it. Like for the longest time, his look was this guy named Turbo where he just wore like this 1980s looking jumpsuit with a terrible bowl cut. And he's just like this rage filled, angry, hilarious guy. Look up his music videos, by the way. They are all such high budget, high quality stuff, but they're all hysterical.
And he directs them all.
Yes. So then he has his new look with his new era with Cowboy Tears. He has a bullet, which is a bowl cut slash mullet. He looks very cowboy-y with his goatee. And we went and saw him, his first show of his new tour for Cowboy Tears, his new album. It was a sold out show at the Shrine in Los Angeles. Tommy, what did you think?
5,000 people.
Is that what it was? 5,000 people?
Yeah, he said 5,000, and his last LA show was at the Roxy with 500 people.
Which is nowhere near
so
the
what
capacity
a step up because since COVID.
Shrine is a big venue. I think, I could be wrong, I think that's where Mike Kim did their comeback show.
Oh, yeah.
But it is a big, big, big venue. And we've been looking forward to this for so long, and it finally happened. And it was hysterical.
Yeah. We keep saying our favorite part was... He came out and he played one song and then he went, all right, LA, I got one more song for you.
He's like, I got time for one more song. And I was like, this is about to be a good night.
Yeah. He's such an entertainer.
He's
that was,
so,
one of my favorite concerts I've ever been to.
And I kept mentioning it, even today I've mentioned it, but I was just thinking, because he's from Santa Cruz, and so I know his family would have been out at that show.
Uh-huh.
And they must be just so stoked and so proud of him to just be like, look how weird our son is, but what he has been able to do with it. Like,
yeah.
That's pretty damn cool. And I love it. I thought it was hysterical. He had so many fun, like, costume changes throughout the show, mm-hmm. and different set designs that were coming in and out from, like, horses and cows to, not real ones, porta potties and like big guitars and instruments.
At some point between songs, he just goes, man, I need to take a massive shit. And he goes into the outhouse. There's like a wooden outhouse.
Very Western-y.
And then there's just a bunch of sound effects of him farting and he's screaming, oh God. And then he comes out.
29-year-old man. And this is what he's.
I yelled at Nick. Yup. He loves Blink. Because I think he definitely loves Blink-182.
Yeah, and we realized
out.
His voice, the way he enunciated a lot of stuff, it kind of has Tom DeLonge vibes.
For sure.
And then on his new album, one of the main producers behind the whole thing was Elon Rubin, who's a big part of Angels and Airwaves. Mm-hmm. And he worked with Mark Hoppus and Travis Barker on one of his old songs, Let Me Down, or what was it called?
Yeah, Let Me Down. He did a Blink-182 remix.
Yeah, with Mark and Travis on it. So I'm like, this dude's a total Blink guy.
Yeah.
And I did have questions about Blink in my interview for him, but we were so pressed for time that I didn't get to it. But I'm like, that would have been fun.
Yeah.
But all right, so before the show, hear me out. I felt bad all weekend because I was a jerk to this guy at the show. And I was like, okay, that was rude of me. And I was talking to these people, and what, we're in amidst a crowd of 5,000 people. And we're in a very packed area. And I was talking to a couple of them. And then some guy, like, he grabs my shoulder. And then I turn around and he, like, very rudely is like, hey, you keep bumping into my sister. Can you knock it off? And then I got sassy with him right away. I was like, bro, you're at a concert. Like, people are going to be getting bumped into. And then he just, like, shut his mouth and seemed like he was really surprised that I was kind of a jerk. And then I did nicely, because he was very rude the way he said it to me. And I nicely, though, I turned to the girl and I was like, hey, listen, though, if I did bump into you, I'm sorry. And she looked very embarrassed when I turned around and got snappy with him, because it was rude. But then, like, I felt bad because the kid looked like, once I started talking to him, he looked like he was like 17 or 18. I'm 30. And so I was like, okay, I don't need to be this, like, jerk at this show or whatever. But then you said that those guys just continued on. They were just jerks all night.
Yeah, they were like
they're getting mad at people if they were trying to get near them or push by them or anything like that.
Yeah, you know, like every show there's people that are trying to find their friends or squeezing through the crowd, which, you know, it sucks at times when people are rude, but that's just part of it. People go to the bathroom and then have to find their friends again, but these group of kids are like, nobody's getting past us.
So then I did not feel bad. I was like, good.
They were just being little jerks.
I did not feel bad about being a jerk to him, and I loved that when I did, he just immediately shut his mouth up, turned around, and just did not look my way again, and I could tell the girl next to him was just very embarrassed about what had happened. So, yeah.
Oh, and then should I tell about how I almost got in a fight,
and then
too?
Tommy's getting in a fight almost as well. So apparently,
there's just all kinds of bumping and shoving all
night. If you're at Oliver Tree's shows, be ready for a damn fight. But break down for me this guy that you almost clocked.
Yeah, so there's people squeezing by and tapping you on the shoulder and that stuff, but then one guy was real aggressive and kind of shoved me a bit to get by, so then I gave him a little elbow back, and then I just heard him from behind me look at me and say, you want to fucking go? Let's go! What's up, man? What's up? And the whole time I didn't look at him, I just kept looking at the stage, enjoying
bobbing
the show.
Bobbing his head, smiling.
And I was like, this guy's looking crazy to everybody around him, just yelling at me, and I'm not even looking at him.
Feels good to be back at concerts. There was one time I was at Skrillex in Las Vegas, and this woman, she was really trying to, like, oh, how did it come to be? She kept trying to, like, push her way in front of me, my brother, and the girl I was dating at the time. This was back in, like, 2012, I think. This was 10 years ago. That's horrifying. And she kept trying to, like, push us, and she started, like, hitting my girlfriend at some point. And then she started yelling at me and my brother that we were gay, and she was calling us, like, the F word and everything. And then so I grabbed my brother and I kissed him on the mouth in front of her, and she lost her mind. She started going crazy. And then she actually started to, like, try to fight us. And then so she pushed my ex down to the ground. And then so I pushed her back, and then security started to pick me up to kick me out of the show.
Oh.
And then everyone else was like, no, it wasn't him. It wasn't him. It was that woman. It was her.
Oh,
I swear.
Nice.
And then so she got kicked out, and I didn't. I got to go back to my front row spot. Thank you. And then she was like with her son. She was like in her 40s or 50s.
Jeez.
And then like 15 minutes later, her son comes back and he's like, hey, my mom lost her shoe. Have you seen it? And then I was like, I'm not going to help your mom find her shoe. That is on her.
She can be shoeless.
Yeah, she can be shoeless. But then at the first show I ever went to was My Chemical Romance and the Used when I was 14. I lost
your first show ever?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I lost a shoe there. And I was like really little for my age. But I was up close up near the front. And then I saw someone I somehow knew or something, and they were like, oh my God, you're at a concert. And I was like, yeah, I lost my shoe though. And then everyone was like, what? Oh my God, this adorable little kid lost his shoe. And then like dozens of shoes started flying forward. Like
what?
Word got out that this kid was looking for his shoe.
So then they were just giving you every
shoe. And
then
there was like all
shoe.
These shoes. Is this one it? Is this one it? And I found my shoe. My shoe actually got passed up. And I was like, damn, people are nice at concerts. And then I come to learn some people aren't nice at concerts.
Yeah, that's a great first experience.
That was great. Oh, it was awesome. Do you have any other good concert stories? Or am I putting you on the spot? Does Oliver Tree take the cake because
Oliver
he
Tree.
Killed it?
Yeah.
So then I was in the bathroom at one point, and Tommy and I, we had been hyping up the new Jackass movie so much because we were so excited to see it. And then when I was in the bathroom, one of the guys who's one of the new younger people on Jackass was in the bathroom. And I was like, no way. And then so the first thing I said is I mentioned something about Jackass to him. And then a guy waiting in line in the bathroom, because then Zach, that's his name, he went to go use the bathroom. And then someone was just like, yeah, he does look like he'd be on Jackass. And I was like, no, that guy's in the new Jackass. And he's like, no, he's not. And then this other guy next This other guy next to me, he was like, yeah, no, he was Jackass Forever. That guy's in it. And I was like, yeah, his name's Zach. He's in the new Jackass movie. And the guy's like, wait, really? What? And then so after the bathroom, and by the way, he's like wearing a Jackass shirt. He has a Jackass tattoo. Like, it was a big deal for him to be in the new Jackass movie. And so I chatted with
him. He was a huge fan even before.
And I caught him when he was coming out of the bathroom. I was very drunk at this point. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening, but whoo. And then so I was like, dude, let me take a video with you for my buddy. And then so I did it. But at first I did two boomerangs on accident in a row. And I was like, ooh, it's a boomerang. My bad. Let's do it again. Oh God, it was another boomerang. And I was just like, oh Jesus. And then I finally got the video of it. Oh, let me see if I can pull it up and just play the audio of me screaming. to Tommy about when I met Zach, because I thought it was great.
That did blow my mind. Came back and just said, hey, look.
And it's just a clip of me with
what?
Zach.
What?
So I think this is the one.
Tommy, I just ran into fucking Zach-ass.
Wait.
When I was going to the bathroom, we absolutely loved the movie, wearing the hoodie, and you fucking killed it.
Terrible language. I'm sorry, Mom. But that was it. I was couple drinks deep at that point, but I'm sure he's happy for the recognition.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've been drunk.
Like I said, he had a Jackass Forever hoodie on. He was fully going out. Like, he's feeling like a superstar.
And he's
right
like,
now.
If someone thinks I look like the guy, I am the guy. I'm wearing the hoodie. So all in all, it was a damn good time.
Yeah.
I loved that show. It was so fun. Oliver Tree, that just made me, like, if there was another show near LA,
yes,
I would totally go to it.
Me too.
To see it, because I was just, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. So anybody who's listening, although it's pre-recorded today, yes, I will be tweeting along. What are your favorite shows you've ever been to? Favorite experiences from your favorite concerts? Worst experiences, like some of the bad ones Tommy and I just shared? Or who are you looking forward to seeing this year? Tours are finally back in action with the pandemic restrictions starting to be lifted a bit. So I don't know who you're going to see, who you want to see, or just some good memories of yours. Let me know and join in.
Go see Oliver Tree if he comes to your town.
I will say if Oliver Tree, because his tour is just kicking off, he's going
he's
all around the country,
tour. You
would absolutely not regret it. I would also suggest listening to some of his music before then.
I saw he's going to Nashville. I think it sold out, but I was wondering if he'd bring some country artist on stage.
That would be great.
Duet for one of his new songs.
Oh, I would love that. So check out Oliver Tree. If he's coming near you guys, I cannot recommend it enough. And the show probably will be getting close to selling out if it hasn't yet. So and check out his new album, Cowboy Tears, which his this was fun though. So his label, because they know I'm a fan, they sent me like a gift baggie last week. Just before the album came out, they sent me a box in the mail, and I didn't know what it was going to be until I got it. I knew something was on the way because they asked for my address, and then I could see when it got shipped through like FedEx or whatever. And then I started to think, I was like, wait, they asked for my address like 2 weeks ago. They're sending it out now. Oliver's album's about to drop. Like, what are they sending me? And then so I got the box. It said Oliver Tree. Like, it said from Oliver Tree. And I was like, what? So I FaceTimed Tommy to open it up because I was like, because Tommy got me into Oliver Tree. How could I not? And then what they sent me was like a t-shirt, a coffee mug, all about his new album. and then a cassette version of his new album, like on cassette tape.
And you're like, how the hell am I going
to
play this?
And I had no idea how I was going to listen to it because I don't have a cassette player. So I got that on a Wednesday. The album dropped on Friday. So then on Wednesday night from Amazon, I ordered like a really cool vintage-y looking boombox with a cassette player. So it came to the office on Thursday. And then Tommy and I, we loaded up the cassette, took a little trial and error to figure out how the damn thing worked. But then we got to hear a very like muffled 90s sounding version of his new album.
Yeah.
But it was cool because we got to hear it early.
That's probably the ideal way to listen to it.
Yeah.
I thought, like I said, it felt like being at the pool in the 90s.
Or like working in the garage, like on a car or something. Yeah. That's what you'd hear when you were like in someone's garage doing something. So I thought that was dope that they did that for me and that we got to hear it early because we were stoked on it. And that was just cool. It was cool to hear it before anyone else got to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So we all like to browse things on the internet, on our phones, on our computers, and maybe at times you don't want people to know what you're looking up. I'm not saying it's bad things in particular, but Tommy, have you ever looked up anything on the computer that you'd rather be kept private? Why are you smirking? Are you smiling?
No.
We already know that Tommy loves to look up food recipes. He's embarrassed to admit that he likes to cook. So I know most of you are probably thinking, though, why don't you just use incognito mode? And let me tell you all something. Incognito mode does not hide your activity. It doesn't. And I know it sounds like it does. But what it does when you're doing it, it just maybe clears your history or it makes you feel like you are being protected. But it doesn't fully clear your browsing history at all. And your internet service provider can still see every single website you have ever visited. Every single one. Everything you have ever typed in. And that is why even when I'm at home, I never go online without using ExpressVPN. Because it doesn't have to be, you know, embarrassing stuff you're looking up, but it can be personal stuff or you can be entering personal information and you just want to make sure that people aren't going to have records to this. It doesn't matter who your internet service provider is. ISPs in the US can legally sell your information to ad companies. And that's why if you're on places like you're on one website, you even talk about something, all of a sudden you see ads from it on every other website. It's because your data is being sold. But ExpressVPN, it's an app that reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers so your ISP can't see the sites that you visit. It is completely blocking anyone's ability to see what you are doing on the internet. ExpressVPN also keeps all of your information secure by encrypting 100% of your data with the most powerful encryption available. Most of the time, I don't even realize that I have ExpressVPN on. It runs seamlessly in the background and it is so easy to use. You literally have to just press a button and then it is up and running and you are fully 100% guaranteed, absolutely protected. ExpressVPN is available on all of your devices, phones, computers, even your smart TVs, which I don't even think a lot of people think about that nowadays for smart TVs, but absolutely 100%. So there's no excuse for you not to be using it. Because you don't want the world, the internet providers, to be seeing what you're doing, to be selling your information. So protect your online activity today with the VPN rated number one by Business Insider and visit my exclusive link at expressvpn.com/major. That's my last name, M-A-J-O-R. And you can get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's Express, E-X-P-R-E-S-S, VPN.com/major. ExpressVPN.com/major. Head there to learn more and just, you know, protect yourself. Because seriously, it's kind of uncomfortable at times when you know that your stuff is just out there being sold and just being seen. We all like to feel like our phones and our pockets stay in our pockets and with us. They're all very personal devices to us. But that's not the case when it comes to the internet and with anything that you are doing. So that is why you should all check out ExpressVPN. All right, Tommy, I know you obviously know every day when you're walking down the street. Everybody that you meet, you know, Arthur.
Get along with each other.
So yeah. Arthur, the childhood show, which I watched way too late into my life, like from a childhood onward, because I grew up, I didn't have cable.
I was watching last week.
When I got home from school, it was a lot of little kid shows that I had to watch. But Arthur, it just finished its 25-year run. It's done. The show was still
it's
going,
terrible.
First off, which I didn't even realize. But at the end of the episode, did you ever watch the show?
I feel like I did occasionally.
But they showed what all of the characters became as adults, and they showed adult versions of them.
Oh, did it do like a flash forward?
Yeah.
Oh.
And Arthur, I thought it was cute, but he ended up being a children's book writer, and he wrote like a version of his childhood. He like wrote
that's super his childhood. Cute. I
but
like that.
What I loved was his sister DW, who was always a little snitch, a little like a little narc and a little tattletale. She became a cop.
Perfect.
Of course, of course. And then some of the other characters whose names I don't remember.
What about Buster? Was that his?
Was that the bunny?
Yeah, his bunny.
Oh crap!
Friend?
Let me see. But I know that the bulldog guy became like a weatherman on the news. And let me see what Arthur Buster. Why didn't I have that one in front of me?
Yeah, Buster Baxter.
Buster Baxter. Let me see if we can find out quickly. If not, I'm just going to skip it. And all the characters' futures revealed. Here we go. So let's see. Buster. While Buster was prone, this is from comicbook.com, and it says, while Buster was prone to wild stories and some sketchy signs throughout Arthur and the future, Buster has become a teacher. And when he meets up with Arthur at the Sugar Bowl, he eagerly tells his friend about his student's stories. While it's not explicitly stated that he's teaching college, it's implied as he mentions Kate Reed, Buster's little sister, as one of his students who would be in her early 20s at this time. Oh, so that's cute. And then Binky, he was the little bulldog. He became a news anchor or a weatherman. And then George, he was the moose. There was a moose on the show. He became the new owner of Sugar Bowl Cafe, which I'm guessing was something in the show, which I do not remember. Francine, who, if you remember this one.
Oh, yeah, I remember Francine. So
they're all adults now. That's what she looks like. She's, let me see what she ended up doing. She has this new edgy hairstyle and snazzy casual style. She's revealed to have indeed gone into business. She's the owner and CEO of a company that makes sneakers and quips, and she gets lots of exercise running. Good for her. And Muffy, I remember all of them now that I'm looking at them. Remember Muffy? See that face?
Oh, yep.
So then there's Muffy, and she is trying to run for mayor of Elwood City. So I thought that was cute that they wrapped up that show. But what were...
I'm looking at that picture of future Arthur, and he's just so goofy looking.
With his hair?
Yeah, he has a goatee and hair. He looks like a slob.
Was he just bald his whole life, and then he decided as an... I guess I'll grow my hair out.
He looks like a slacker.
I think they were anteaters in that show. That's what Arthur was an anteater.
The original, the first Arthur book, he looks way more
He looks like,
like
an anteater. He has like the long nose and all that stuff. I remember that. What were some, any classic childhood shows that like you used to watch as a kid a lot? So Arthur was one for me. And
Rocco's Modern Life.
I didn't have cable.
Oh.
Did you know that the guy who talks is Rocco? Did you ever see Reno 911?
Yep. I know who you're talking about though.
He's the cop in it.
Yep.
He's the, I forget his name. Garcia is, I think is his name in Reno 911. And I've seen some of the voiceover stuff he's done. Like, he's done a lot of iconic stuff.
Yeah.
To where I was surprised by that. But what was it like being a kid growing up with cable? That must have been awesome.
It was pretty cool. You know, you memorize the channels that you always go to. Disney, I think in Louisville, Disney was 24. I don't know. Don't hold me to it. I think Nickelodeon was 42.
I did randomly, when I was a kid, we randomly on channel like 29 or something, started to get MTV2. And that was so crazy because it was like such a cable type channel. And like we had it for years and then it randomly went away one day.
Did you have bunny ears?
Yeah, we had bunny ears. And I don't know if we accidentally picked that up somehow because of that, but that I was living. When we had that, I was like, oh, I've officially made it. So I watched a lot of that. But speaking of movies, TV shows, all that stuff, let's dive into a box office breakdown from over the weekend, everybody. Wah, 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 wah. Number one is the new Uncharted film.
Oh.
It stars Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg. Did you see it?
Nope.
And it is based off the video game franchise.
Uncharted.
But the video game series, it's very well respected. But the main thing is movies never seem to translate well from video games.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been a video game movie that was actually highly praised.
I was telling you, there was a great one last year called Werewolves Within, which I didn't even know was a game, but apparently I think it was a PC game where you're trying to find out who is a werewolf in like a group of people. But there was a movie that came out that's a comedy horror, and it's really good.
Oh, so you liked it. So
yeah, check out Werewolves Within.
But I guess then, especially when it's for big no-name movies or video games, there's never good adaptations. So again, this one stars Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg. And Tom Holland, I just feel like he's on top of the world now. Like, he's killing it. And the movie's getting pretty mixed reviews, but it made $44 million over the weekend in the U.S. It's on a budget of $90 to $120 million. And worldwide, it's brought in $130 million. $1 million. So it's on track to maybe be profitable. But yeah, I guess a big part of it is I feel like Tom Holland's name is probably putting a lot of butts in seats.
He's got the number three. He's the lead in the number three highest grossing movie of all time now.
And it's also the number three movie at the box office again.
Whoa.
Which I guess we'll get to right after number two, which is Dog, the new one with Channing Tatum. Where,
okay.
Yeah, and I what's the premise? I think the premise is that
he co-directed that.
Oh, yeah, he did. I saw that. And the premise is what? He gets told that he has to take care of this dog that's very poorly behaved. Somehow in the military world, he's a cop or he's in the army.
Yeah, he's an army ranger who must escort a dog, the dog of his fallen commander, to the funeral.
Okay.
But the dog is crazy.
The dog is crazy. So it brought in $15 million. It's got a budget of $15 million. And worldwide, it's brought in $18 million. So we want to hit that $30 million mark for it to be profitable. And it's got a shot. It'll be tough, but it's definitely got a shot. I probably won't see it.
I might check it out. I like dogs.
You like Channing Tatum. I know you loved him in that dancing movie. Number three, like I said already, is Spider-Man No Way Home, back in the top three. It was out for like a week or two. It brought in an additional $7.65 million on a budget of $200 million. It has now brought Disney $1.832 billion.
Wow.
So that has brought in some serious money, and it still is just topping the box office. So Tom Holland right now, he has the number one movie in theaters with Uncharted and the number three movie for many, many, many weeks topping the charts in a row with Spider-Man No Way Home. Number four was Death on the Nile, which is just like the star-studded cast murder mystery film. It brought in $6.5 million on its $90 million budget. Worldwide, it is now at $76 million, so the movie's going to be a flop. Sorry about that, but I had no interest in seeing that one. And I decided to do top five because Jackass was the fifth one. And I've been wanting to keep tabs on this movie. So it brought in an additional $5.2 million on its $10 million budget. Worldwide, $61 million. So it's made a good profit.
That's good.
And I want to be surprised if this gets it another Jackass in the future, which I just have a feeling. Yeah.
Or a Jackass show reboot.
Ooh, that would be exciting. And to put on a streaming service.
Yeah.
I would love it. I could totally see that like on Hulu or something.
Uh-huh.
But I guess Disney owns, I don't even know how it all goes with who owns what and what streams where. But so I looked it up, and based off of the numbers I looked up today, though, it still says that worldwide total, not nationwide, but worldwide total, Spider-Man is still number six.
Oh, of all time?
Yeah,
okay, time. So probably
in the U.S.
Yeah,
it's domestically. The number third highest. But it goes Avatar, Avengers Endgame, Titanic, Star Wars The Force Awakens, Avengers Infinity War, and then Spider-Man No Way Home.
Okay. Correction.
So, correction, but it might very well be, at least in the U.S., the third highest grossing film of all time because that thing has brought in some serious numbers. Okay, guys, so I've been working on my tattoo sleeve, and I'm getting close to being done with it. I had my, what was supposed to be my last session, but it turned into a two-parter. It was on the inside of my upper arm. That's the worst pain I've ever been in my entire life, Tommy. That sucked.
Woo!
That sucked. It's like he saved the worst for last.
Yes.
And it was like one of those moments, like I've been fine with every part of my arm, but right from the start, it was bad. And then I just knew it was going to go downhill from there. And it was a part that was completely bare. So he had to, every other part of my arm, he outlined the first day I went there.
Yeah.
But this time he had to put the stencil on, outline the whole thing, and then start the shading process as well.
Oh, yeah.
That was rough, everybody. That is just like someone taking shards of glass and rubbing it nonstop into your skin. And I hated it. And every time we do it, I go until he stops. But I guess because it was the first time that part of the skin had been touched. And first it was the outline on the whole thing followed by the shading. So my skin was just getting red and swollen. So he was just like, yeah, we're going to make this a two-parter just so your body can heal a little bit. And when he said that, I was just like, in my head, I was like, oh, thank God. Oh my God. Cause when I looked down and saw how much was still left to do, there's a crow on it. And when I saw like that hadn't even been shaded yet, and it's a black crow that's
just
big.
Just a single tear fell.
I was not stoked. I was not happy, but I am determined because I'm always like, if he wanted to keep going, I would have, cause then I can just get it out of the way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, at least it's going to be done. But that sucked. But the good thing was Tommy got a sleepover with Frankie because of that.
That's right.
How was your sleepover with my adorable dog, Frankie?
She was great. She slept in the bed. I woke up in the morning and I made a little nook for her to cuddle up into and like a ball. But then I fell asleep again and when I woke up, I swear, I took a picture and took a video and posted it, but I swear she looked like she had tucked herself in like a human, where her legs and her body were under the covers, but then her head and her paws were out and just sticking straight up. They were just sticking straight up like Frankenstein,
I realized. You like that? So she, last time you watched her would have been back in October. She was much puppier then.
Yeah. Honestly, she was great back then, too.
All right, good. So she's
And she peed. The only bad thing she did then was peed on my couch once.
But she didn't this time.
No. And well, even back then, I was like, oh, that's my bag. So it went a while without taking her out. So I was like, that was fair.
But you guys had a good little adventure. He took her for a walk.
She was great. She walked for 3 miles.
Excuse me. My brother used to always make himself sneeze. Like, he'd put something up his nose so it would irritate his nasal passage.
I've done that sometimes.
And then he would just sneeze. Like, he used to do it a lot. Like, he'd be sitting at his computer playing World of Warcraft all day, every day, because that's all he would do. And he would just be back there, and he'd be like, doo-doo-doo. And I was like, why are you?
I'll do it if I get the sneezing feeling but can't sneeze.
But you can't get it out. You're like, it's in there, and it is an uncomfortable feeling. I need to get that out.
Yeah, it's so aggravating.
Sneezing is great. My butt is greater. No,
I like to sneeze out my butt.
I was seeing this video of a dude who just sneezed and so much snot flew out like all over his beard, and I was just like, that's one of the grossest things ever.
I want to see it.
Where do you sneeze on your body?
I do into the elbow. It's the vampire technique.
Oh, I do that. Or actually, usually what I do is I'll pick up my shirt and I'll put my shirt.
I do the elbow. I dab.
I won't. You dab. You I actually. Dab when I won't name names, but I know people who sneeze into their hands.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think it is the grossest thing ever.
Like, and then wipe their hand. I just saw a guy do it yesterday.
I think it is so disgusting. Yep. Like when I know people do it, I lay into them about it. I'm like, why did you do that? I'm going to wash my hands. I'm like, but are you really?
Yeah.
Like, is there a sink right here that you're going to clean your hands with? Because I think it is so. I couldn't do that. Would you want that on the risk of just blowing stuff all over your hands? No, not me. But
Elbow pit is the way to go.
That's and if I'm not going under the shirt, which I do 99% of the time, I go there. Like I couldn't bring myself to do that. That's just not to put my hands to my face.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. But you already know.
I feel like it'd be just better to sneeze into the open air.
Now when we're in a mask though, when you wear a mask, if you're in public and you sneeze,
I still do it.
Is it out of like respect?
I think both. I think like subconsciously, I don't even think about it. I'm like, oh, I sneezed into my.
But it's just the worst thing ever. Those then when you have a snot filled mask.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're just like, oh God. And you're in public. So like, I'm just going to sit here and nobody's going to know the battle that I'm waging right now, but it's not a good one. And then Tommy already knows that I can't stand if I'm eating and someone blows their nose.
Oh yeah.
I hate it. I think it's the grossest thing ever. I can't do it. Like if I'm at a restaurant and someone blows their nose, I think they should go to the bathroom to do it.
Sometimes it's so hard though. You're eating something spicy and your nose is just running.
So you hear someone else. Now, you're at a restaurant and you just hear someone go.
I don't even notice. I don't think I would even notice.
I would. And I would yell at them.
Yeah, you would.
I think it's one of the grossest things ever.
I stopped doing it around you. Well, now if I'm going to blow my nose, I have to look over you and say, you're not eating, are you?
We got hot chicken before the Oliver Tree show.
Yeah.
And that stuff clears your sinuses out. It just makes your nose run. And that's what Tommy said. He pulled out a napkin. He said, you're not eating, are you? I can blow my nose. And I said, blow away, baby. Because I don't care about the other people in there. As long as you're not doing it in front of me.
Screw them.
Then we're good. We're good. So earlier today, I was asking Tommy, and I guess you can retell the story because it's funny, about if you want to.
Oh, what?
We've all been in moments where you send texts to the wrong person in the worst situation.
God.
And if any of you have stories about this, please tweet it so I can just have secondhand embarrassment for you. Or maybe you received a text from somebody that wasn't intended for you.
Ooh, yeah.
Back in 2012, it had been 2010 or 2011. I was texting one of my bandmates, and I told you this story. So I was texting him. I guess he was having a second conversation with someone else and replied to me on accident. Because we were talking about like music stuff, about band practice. And then his response was telling me how much he'd love for me to suck it. Like, it was much more grotesque than that. Like, he wasn't going like, dude, bro, suck it, man. Get out of here. He had something else in mind, and he was talking to somebody else. And he texted me that, and I just started dying laughing. And at that moment, I knew he didn't realize what he did. And I was just like, oh, but let me break the bad news to him. So I texted him back, and I was like, Kenny, Let's not be sexting. This is inappropriate. And I thought that was hysterical.
It's so good.
So tell me yours, Tommy, because yours isn't too different than my friend Sarah.
Mine wasn't as funny, but so I was, this was around the same time, probably 2010. I was in film school working on one of my classmates' projects. He was doing a documentary. So we were filming with him and he was being kind of a jerk during the day on the shoot. And I was like, you know, we're all helping him for free. Why is he being a jerk? So then that—
Remind me after this, I have a good hot mic one from school as well.
So okay. So then at the end of the day, I was texting one of the other classmates who's working on the same project, and I was texting her and just saying, yeah, if you're going to be such a dick, then you can at least, you know, thank us at the end of the day. And then that it went on longer than that, a couple sentences about how he was just such a jerk. And then I got a text and looked down at my phone and it was from him. And it was just a bunch of question marks. And I immediately knew. I immediately knew before he would open up my phone. I was like, oh God. I sent it to Zach instead of to her.
What did you reply?
So I was laughing because I was like, damn it. So I responded and said, yes, that was meant for Taylor, but we're talking about you. You weren't the nicest today. And
he must have known that, right?
What, that he wasn't nice?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, oh, yeah, there is a happy ending, though, because we were filming the next day, too, so I had to, like, see him in the morning knowing that, you know, I sent that shit-talking text to him accidentally. But the next day, close to the beginning of the day, he was like, he was very, very socially awkward, but he was like, I just want to take a second to just thank all of you guys for helping me today, and we're going to have a good day.
So maybe
and
it was good, like, you sent that text.
I think, yeah, it actually did end
especially
up working out.
Especially if he knew, like, God, I did something to where my classmates are shit-talking me.
Yes, even if it was a bad way that it happened and that I was kind of shit-talking
him. And honestly,
him,
maybe moving forward, it made him kind of consider how he acts in situations if he's coming off rude.
Yeah, I think it definitely did. It made him talk to people differently on the set.
So when I was in television production class, like, we had, like, a full-on TV studio where we'd have to produce shows, and I get that I'm annoying and that I can be loud and annoying at times. That's my personality.
Wait, you know that?
But and one thing is too, also though, like in any of my film classes, if you were ever in my group, not to sound cocky, but you were going to turn in the best project. Like for all of my film projects, I went all out. And like my teachers always loved them and they always showed them to the next classes, like the following semesters. They'd be like, can I get a, like, is it cool if I show a copy of this to the next semester? Because I'd love to show them how you executed this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes. And for as annoying, as immature as I can be, I took my film schooling. That was the most serious I ever took school and the best grades I ever got because it was actually going to school for something that I loved.
Yeah.
But so we all had to wear headsets when we were doing the TV productions because there was two teams. There was the team downstairs on the cameras. And then there was a second floor with a window upstairs where it was like the director's booth.
Ooh,
where
cool.
They were flipping the cameras. And where they just had the people there controlling all of, like, the audio and all of that stuff. And then so I don't remember what I had done or what I said or something, but I was just being immature, dumb me. I think they were like testing me for focus. So I was standing in front of the camera being dumb. And then I had a headset on. And then one of the guys upstairs, this guy named Andrew, he was incredibly cocky. Like, he thought he was the coolest thing. And that's why I didn't like him anyway. But he was just like, God, Nick is so annoying. I want to kick the shit out of him someday. And he said that. And then everyone just looked.
I
had
gosh.
No enemies in the class except for him. And then I was just like, Andrew, your mic is live.
You said that?
Yeah. And then it was so awkward and embarrassing after that.
Amazing.
And then it made a lot of people think he was just a jerk. Because, it could be annoying. I get that. And I get that it bugs people. Trust me, in my life, I have made enemies with how I act. But that's just me. If you don't like my high energy, we're not going to cut it out to be friends, I guess. But then he like never apologized. And then
Did you see his face as you said that?
No, because he was upstairs in the control room. And there was a window, but it was from my angle, I couldn't see him.
Yeah.
And then he just acted like it never happened. And then we got paired in a group at one point, like a semester later. And I never liked him because of that. He always knew that made stuff uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So then we got put in a group together. And we had to do a day documentary. Like, we had to go and film, like, a documentary thing. And then we had to edit it that same day. And then me and him were both picked as the editors. And so he was like texting me, trying to blah, blah, blah. Maybe I was immature. I don't know. But I just edited the entire project and got us all an A because I was like, screw you. I'm not talking to you. I was just like, I am not. Because we were supposed to meet up with them and edit with them.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't even have the balls to apologize to me for being a little brat. And I'll have a good time editing this project. So I'm just going to do it and have a good one. Good stuff. That reminds me of another time. And I don't know if this was rude or not, but my music cafe series that I told you about.
Yeah.
So like we had to do a series and I decided to do, and this was the one that my teacher loved and he wanted to show to the next classes. But I did an interview live series show to where I found a host and then I even got a live audience for it. And then an artist would come and perform and then they would interview them in between the songs. And then I put together a really cool set, but we had a set designer assigned to it and she did not do anything. Like she wouldn't respond to texts or calls or she was always busy so she couldn't do anything. So I just did the whole set myself 100%. But she still wanted the credit for it. And then so I talked to my teacher and she flunked the assignment.
Oh.
Because I was like, because he talked about how good the set looked.
Yeah.
And then she showed up day of to help set it up. So it looked like she was the set designer.
Yeah.
Because I knew where everything needed to go. So I was telling them. But then when I told my teacher that, he agreed. He was like, okay, yeah. And then she got all pissy with me. Because, and I was like, well, you didn't do anything on this project. Like, you don't deserve a grade for it. And call me rude, but I think she deserved that F. So, boom! She doesn't work in TV anyway now. She went off and had a kid and works, like, at a grocery store or something.
You literally ruined her dreams.
Yeah, I ruined her dreams. She wasn't cut out for the job. I thought we just covered some fun, good stories.
Oh, right? Yeah.
That's a good time. Can't complain. I've been watching My Love when there's trash reality TV shows that I just love. And one that came out last year that the new season is now finally airing on Netflix is Love is Blind.
Yes, I've been seeing people talk about
it. But you, I forget, did you watch the first season of it?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
And you haven't started the new one?
No.
I did. I loved the first one. But like, I didn't think it compared to like The Circle. Like when I watched The Circle, like I was like, this show is a hit.
Yeah, Love is Blind kind of turns more into like a documentary feel.
Yeah. And so what the premise of Love is Blind is, by the way, everybody, it is that they get a cast of, it's like, half male, half female, like 14 per each gender, I think. And then the guys all live together, the girls all live together, and the only time that they can communicate with each other is one-on-one in these pods, but each pod is separated by a wall, so they can never see the girl or guy that they're talking to. They can only hear their voice. And the premise is love is blind. And by the end of 10 days of getting to know people, if you want to continue on with the experiment, and if you've built up that emotional connection with someone, you propose to them. And then if they say yes, then you get to meet each other face to face. You all get to take like a little fun trip to Mexico. And then you have 2 weeks until your wedding. And it does feel very documentary. It just kind of follows their lives and their families as they kind of try to say, no, maybe this isn't the best idea. You've known this person for a couple weeks.
It's so crazy.
Let's not do this. It's so crazy and so cringy at times. And
yeah.
I don't think like there was actually... There was one couple in the last season that I... No, there was two couples in the last season that I actually was like, all right, this is like the real deal. I think they're going to stay together forever.
Yep.
And one was the guy and the girl who the other girl brought all the drama into it, if you remember. It was the two... I don't remember. It was two white people. And then but then the other one was the white guy and the black girl.
Oh yeah,
like,
for
I knew
sure.
That they
That's
were,
true love.
I knew that they were without a doubt gonna be in love.
Yep.
And then this other couple who, because you remember there was the drama with that blonde girl that just seemed crazy by the end of the show.
I
she was obsessed
her.
With that one guy.
Oh, I know you're talking
that
about
that couple.
Yes.
Like I knew. I think they're
both kind of
They
I don't want to say rednecky, but
They
remind me of
that. They both
like,
seem like
where
from the
I'm
south
from.
A bit. Yeah.
Yeah, in Kentucky.
And I don't know if you saw the follow up. That they put out to that?
No, I didn't.
They had a follow-up last year.
But I heard of a part where she gets really pissed at the other girl.
And what I love though, so I started watching it because it was like a reunion. They brought all the cast back together. It was like four episodes. I thought it was just going to be like one reunion thing. And I was like, oh, that was fun. And then it was like next episode. And I was like, okay, we're buckling back down for this again. But I do love this show because I love my trash reality TV and I can't stop watching this. Like I will say, I haven't been as into this season, and now I just feel like I'm at a point where I'm like, well, let me just keep watching to see what happens.
Yeah.
But they did end the latest one on a good cliffhanger. I'm just not feeling it with the couples like I did with the last one. It's a fun concept, but I
feel like you have to feel invested in the actual
without there being
people.
Like a couple that I really am just rooting for and like loving, like all of the couples I feel like this season, I'm like, are you guys really meant to be together?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But then
or are you just proposing so you can keep being on the show?
And what I think is going to be weird too is like when the couples go back and rewatch the show now, because there's like one guy in particular who, as far as I know, he's marrying this chick, but he said the craziest things like about her off camera, like about why he's not into her.
Oh,
and he feels like he's with a family member and she looks like his aunt, and he doesn't know if he's ever going to be able to look by that past that when they get intimate, because they're not going to have sex till they get married. And then I'm just like, if you guys go back and watch this, and if she sees that stuff, I'd just be like,
that's going to be the end of the marriage right there.
That's going to be the end of it. But so the last episode drops this week, and I'm ready to give a full report of it next week. But if you like mindless, fun reality TV, why not check it out? It's on Netflix.
Could you do that?
No way. No. First off, I don't want to get married. So that off the bat would be a very interesting show for me to try to do. Can you imagine talking in the pods to one of them? Yeah. So I don't want to be married. I don't want kids. Because they're all already, with someone they've known for 10 days, they're talking about kids. They're talking about marriage.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they're all caught up.
It's so funny because, at least from the first season, everybody's attractive, but then they act like this is their last resort. I've been through the ringer and this is my last chance at love. And they're also
young. Yeah. They're in their 20s.
They're attractive.
Like, I'm ready to give up on love. But also what I was thinking is they do pick people that are generally attractive.
Yeah.
And, there are some people, though, on this season, you can tell that when they met face-to-face, like...
They're disappointed.
It's rude for me to say, but, like, I feel like maybe one person looked much more out of another person's league. But, so the person that was the maybe lesser of the beautiful, like, you could tell, like it's just funny to see this one person's reaction, this guy, because he was like, oh, she's so, like, beautiful. She's like, never would I ever thought I'd be with a girl like this. Blah, 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 blah. Oh. This is amazing. And then, like, right off the bat, you could tell that when she saw him, she was not feeling it.
Yeah.
After she said yes to the proposal. Yep. Spoiler alert, they broke up. And I know that that had a big thing to do with it, even though she used other reasons.
And I could never do it also. I mean, physical attraction is really important, but also just imagine being that person. Like, me proposing to a girl and then feeling like we're in love through this wall, and then meeting and then seeing disappointment on her face. Oh my God.
I thought you were saying her face just looks like a disappointed thing. You're saying that she sees you.
Yes.
And then she's like, and that's where it was so awkward too, because you could tell like when some of them meet that the other one just isn't feeling it.
Yeah.
But the other one seems to be oblivious to it. So like they're trying to kiss them and they're like, oh my God. And they're like, like shine away. And then I'm just like, oh, this is so awkward to watch. Oh my God. And
this makes me want to watch just the, because when does that all happen? Like the first or second episode?
Yeah, within the first meeting. Two episodes that starts to happen.
And I love cringe.
There's cringeworthy moments too, just like where like there's guys talking, there's like a guy talking to two girls about marriage. And you see, he's like, having such fake conversations, it seems like, because he's saying the same things to both of them.
Ooh.
And then the girls find out about it, and then he has to pick one. And then now you can tell, like, it seems like he probably regretted picking one over the other. And it's just like, so the drama parts are fun, but there are some slow moments to where I'm like, yeah, I get it. Your families all get along and you're happy for each other. That's great. I want to see tears. Like, I want to see people crying and fighting. That's why I watch these junk reality TV shows.
Yeah.
Love is Blind. It's on Netflix. Thank you all so much for catching the Nick Major Show here tonight. Once again with Tommy Wooldridge. You know the drill, Tommy. Go ahead and play us out. Maybe we'll be live next week. Let's do a live next week. Tommy, come on. Stay late for me.
Whoa, oh, whoa. It's the Nick Major Show on Adobe Radio. It's the Nick Major Show on Adobe Radio. It's the Nick Major Show on Adobe Radio. On Adobe Radio, yeah.
That was a good one. All right, we'll see you all next week. Take it easy.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.